Welcome back to this week's Off the Bench podcast from the Premier League. I'm Lee from FPL Family.
And I'm FPL Harry.
Harry, good morning. Very nice to see you. Game week 13 in the bag, in the books. But we saw a lot of FPL managers' midfields thrown into disarray, didn't we? Mitoma, Bowen, plenty of others missing out through injury. Also was the week where managers struggled to pick between the two heavy hitters for the armband. Lots of narrative about Salah versus Haaland for the armband. And in the end, it was kind of much of a muchness. More on that later on. And also for Bruno Fernandes owners, 15% of them left frustrated. He handed the ball for the penalty to Marcus Rashford. So only an assist for Bruno Fernandes when a double-digit haul was calling. Let's talk about our teams first and foremost, though, Harry. How was game week 13 for you?
Yeah, Bruno Fernandes owners know how us Bukayo Saka owners from earlier on in the season, seeing our penalty takers hand the ball out to other people. But yeah, painful. My week was okay. I ended up on 42. So I had a couple of those midfield issues this week. I had Mitoma and I had Jared Bowen as well. I decided to keep Jared Bowen because I do quite fancy him long term, but he didn't feature. So I got Cameron Archer's two-pointer off the bench. I didn't hate that fixture at home to Bournemouth. It didn't come to anything in the end, but I didn't completely hate it. Erling Haaland captain was about the only thing that went right for me. I had four players in that Spurs versus Aston Villa game, including Matty Cash and Diaby, who both went off at halftime. So that was kind of the sum up of my game week, it feels like. But it was only a small red. I dropped from about 300k to 400k. It could have been worse.
That's all right. Feels about par for you then. A decent game week for me. 62. I was quite happy with that, to be honest with you. Star of the show, Mr. Anthony Gordon, dropping a 13-pointer was very, very welcome indeed. And he had a supporting cast of Saka coming in with eight. Picked up an assist from Pedro Porro, who I think snuck a bonus point as well. Got himself up to five. Gabriel with the six. Haaland captain coming in with the seven, double to 14. So all in all, a decent game week when I sort of all was said and done. But Anthony Gordon and that Newcastle team, that Newcastle fixture, very much the star of the show. And if you don't mind, Harry, I'd like to start there, because if I look at my fixture difficulty rating, if I look on the website at the fixtures that are coming up for FPL teams, Newcastle are right up there. And right now I've got Anthony Gordon in my team. I don't have anybody at the back from Newcastle. They're obviously Trippier catching my eye, just generally because he does. That's what he does. But lots of options there. Lascelle popping up with a goal as well in game week 13. So all of a sudden, lots of options, good form from Newcastle and some decent fixtures coming up. So let's start with the Magpies and St James's Park. How are you feeling about them and who do you have in your FPL team right now?
Yeah, so it's interesting how quickly things change in the land of FPL about how we talk about certain teams. Isn't because it was only a week ago over the international break that we were thinking that Newcastle were looking leggy, they were tired, they'd just come off that 2-0 defeat to Bournemouth, and then they walk into this game and beat Chelsea 4-1, and suddenly they're flavour of the moment again, right? So I don't necessarily want to be too reactionary on that, because I do look and think they did look tired against Bournemouth, and they do have basically more fixtures to play between now and the new year than any other team in the Premier League, joined with Liverpool. But as we know, Liverpool are doing much more comfortable in Europe compared to Newcastle, who still have to go to PSG and have Milan as well if they want to get anything out of their Champions League group. So I do think it'll be a long winter season for them with the amount of games they've got. I only have Tino Livramento in my team, and he came away with 2 points. He got the start this week, of course, because Lewis Hall unavailable to play, but he's not someone I want to rely on at all. I had the decision a couple of weeks ago to go with Livramento or Lascelles when Dan Byrne was injured. And I regret that decision pretty much every single week. It was Lascelles getting the goal this week just to rub it in a little bit more. I don't have Trippier, but every single week I want to find a route to buy him. I see him being sold every week and I do look at it and think their fixtures coming up start to come a little bit better. He put 16 crosses in against Chelsea. He hit the crossbar from a free kick as well. The returns are still going to be there for them. And the only reason they didn't keep a clean sheet against Chelsea was a free kick from Raheem Sterling. It wasn't an open play goal. It wasn't them leaking goals at the back. So I do still fancy them defensively. I'm a little bit concerned about them with the amount of fixtures they've got. I suppose the other point is the attack, right? We see Callum Wilson out for a reasonable amount of time, and a lot of people will be going and thinking Alexander Isak is going to be the new striker and that we're all going to be going to look and buy. Their fixtures do look quite nice. Manchester United this week, then Everton, then Spurs, then Fulham. They're fixtures that I maybe fancy a little bit more for attackers than those defenders. So if you've got Anthony Gordon, he looks like a good hold. I'm still not certain I'll be going and buying him, but He feels like one of those players that I've got wrong so far this season with the amount of points he's getting. His form so far this season, interestingly, you might have noticed it as an owner, is so good at home. But when he goes away from home, it's not nearly at the same level. So maybe there's a rotation in there. It feels like Gordon and Isaac, but I am a minutes man and I like players who I know are going to play every week. And with the amount of fixtures that they've got over Christmas, I'm a little bit cautious, but it doesn't mean I'm not going to go there.
Yeah, I agree with you on Gordon's home form. Every time he rocks up at St. James's Park, I'm expecting points nowadays. That's the way it works. I don't think he's blanked so far at home this season, every time he's played. So, I mean, incredible performances from Anthony Gordon. And that's kind of symptomatic of what we're seeing from Newcastle United at St. James's Park. They are a force at home, no doubt about it. I agree with you in the defence. I'm still a bit unsure as to whether Trippier is worth that additional money, particularly when Lascelles is sitting there. And I hear you, right? Lascelles is about half the price of a Trippier. So therefore, you know, you've got to set your expectations accordingly. He's not going to be getting the assists and the XA and everything else that you get with Trippier, not taking the set pieces. Although I did notice in the game at the weekend, every set piece that Trippier took, they're looking for Lascelles now, right? Previously in the game when Botman and Shaw and those guys were all available and what you would consider, or I guess what Eddie Howe would consider as the first choice back four for Newcastle, every free kick used to try and find Fabian Schär. And a few of us in FPL were going there because of that kind of like that magnetism towards the ball. But I've noticed that's Lascelles now. And I just think, you know, that goal there that he scored at the weekend, I can see him adding to that with those fixtures coming up on the horizon. There's absolutely goals there for him, I think. And at 3.9, might have even taken a price rise back up to kind of 4 now. So he's on the up, Jamal Lascelles, but a real bargain option for us in FPL. And when the fixtures get a little bit more difficult, or maybe you see some rotation around the Champions League, as you've suggested, Harry, you can stick him on the bench. Or if he misses the odd game, he doesn't get the odd start in the Premier League, you can forgive that because he's probably going to be your fourth or fifth defender, I suspect. But Anthony Gordon, absolutely the star of the show for me. Newcastle second for XG across the game week with 2.28, only outstated by Bournemouth this weekend. So yeah, all eyes on the two. I think it'll look really, really good.
Yeah, no, I agree. How do you feel about Isaac? A few people will be getting, you know, cold feet on Julian Alvarez. People will be looking at the Ollie Watkins fixtures. I'm not going to sit here and say I'd sell Ollie Watkins. The amount of goals Villa are going to score, focal he looks. But people will be looking for a striker, particularly those with the way Julian Alvarez's FPL returns have declined over the past few weeks. Back from injury, on the score sheet, okay fixtures coming up. The lack of Callum Wilson in that Newcastle squad as well. You can see why people would do it.
Yeah, I can. I just have a bit of a concern about his injury record in the past. And that's my concern. You go back to what you said before about the amount of games that Newcastle have got to play and difficult games as well in Europe. You're right. These are not gimmies. They're not dead rubbers. They need to perform in the Champions League if they're going to stay in it. I noticed a non-pen XG of 0.65 this game week and the goal. So, you know, that's not bad, right? Racking up 0.65. So he's going to be in and around the XG, around the goals. He's going to get the points. You know, he's got Trippier feeding him. Everything points towards a good FPL asset for us there, particularly while Callum Wilson is injured. But I just can't help but feel that Eddie Howe's going to, you know, have to manage his minutes, you know, bringing him off on 60, 70 minutes, you know, a bit of rest and rotation around the Champions League. But maybe that's okay. Maybe that's okay for an asset that's coming in at 7.4. You know, that's not too bad. You're right. You're kind of shopping around in the Nunes, the Watkins bracket there. So we do have other options as FPL managers, but I don't mind it. I don't mind it, but I'm not going to be going there myself. I'm going to be, you know, continuing to back my boy Anthony Gordon in midfield and then probably add somebody at the back, probably Lascelles at this point, with maybe an eye on Trippier, But let's talk about your boys then, Harry. Sorry to talk about the other side of this game, Chelsea. I happen to think that, you know, certainly felt like they were turning a bit of a corner, but then going away to St. James's Park, obviously not an easy game for any team. How do you feel about Chelsea going forward? Because the fixtures don't look too bad. I think there's a couple of home games on the horizon, Brighton up next, Sheffield United, I think in 17. Reasonable looking game against Wolves in game week 18 as well, which as we know is a blank for a couple of other teams. So Chelsea might be a team that we're looking to invest in, at least in the short to medium term.
Yeah, so those Chelsea fixtures, particularly from game week 16, looks like a bit of a sea of green if you go on the Fantasy Premier League website and look at the fixture ticker. I think even the next two, actually Brighton at home, yet to keep a clean sheet so far this season, I think our attackers are worth having a look at. There are two names in particular in Cole Palmer and Raheem Sterling that I do still fancy. The game at the weekend, I think it was probably closer than the scoreline makes out until we go 2-1 down and then they score again. The third goal comes quickly and then we get the red card and then they score again. So just the last sort of half an hour did fall away from us a little bit. But until that point, I felt like we put up, it's a difficult place to go. And I thought we put up a pretty good performance in that game. It does still concern me a little bit defensively. I had my eye on Robert Sanchez as a potential Areola replacement. My goalkeepers so far this season have been pretty poor, to say the least. I have one goalkeeper return and we've been playing for 13 game weeks. So I am always looking at fixing that Areola issue. Sanchez was the one I'd look at with those fixtures that we've got coming up. But I just still see us leaking goals. And with all the changes that he made at the back in the last game, is there going to be more changes? Is that going to change the stability? So there is another goalkeeper on my mind that we might talk about in just a moment. So I still like Cole Palmer. He is 5.3 million. He is an enabler that will allow you to get to the likes of Mo Salah, Erling Haaland, Ollie Watkins, Heung-min Son, Bukayo Saka, Kieran Trippier, whichever combination of those that you want. Having Cole Palmer at 5.3 million will really allow you to go and do that. I suppose an Anthony Gordon would allow you something similar. He's about half a million cheaper than Anthony Gordon is now. But I do like with those fixtures, I do expect him to keep penalties when Nkunku returns. Of course, we don't officially know that. I like him. Raheem Sterling's an interesting one at 7 million. He falls more into that like Brian Mbeumo sort of type bracket that a lot of people are going to. It was Eze, but he's picked up an injury now. So I really like Cole Palmer. I did like Sanchez in goal. But apart from that, I'm finding it a little bit more difficult to really want to spend the money when there's other players at a similar price. Being more consistent, I feel like that is the key takeaway here. As you said, the Spurs game, the Manchester City game, and then this, it's just a little bit of lack of consistency so far from Chelsea. But at 5.3, Cole Palmer is still the shout for me, I think.
I do like your Cole Palmer shout, but I'm intrigued by that goalkeeper little teaser you put out there, Harry. I wonder if we're thinking the same thing. I too am getting a little bit frustrated with Areola, and the West Ham fixtures still don't look too bad, do they? Crystal Palace coming up, I think Fulham and Wolves on the horizon, so definitely potential for clean sheets, but there's only so many weeks we can sit here on the pod or Jules and Kelly and Sam can sit there on a Thursday and talk about potential clean sheets for West Ham. They seem to have a real knack of conceding and frustrating us as Areola owners. So I too, funnily enough, I'm looking at a goalkeeper change. And maybe it's not Areola, maybe it's Turner, actually, my sub-goalkeeper. It might be he that makes way for my potential incoming. Let's segue. I think it's a nice segue to, if it is the same goalkeeper we're thinking of, a nice segue to Arsenal, because goals conceded 10 so far this season, clean sheet 6, both top of the league. They're both first in the Premier League for both of those. 110 shots conceded, which sounds like a lot, but that's only second across the league. So they're defensively putting up some really good stats at the moment, Arsenal. And offensively, you know, I know Saka picked up, and I've got Saka in my team, picked up an assist, picked up a couple of bonus points. Odegaard back in the team. So we can talk about them offensively in a minute, but they're not posting kind of elite numbers in terms of their offense, but defense. And listen, Premier League's a one on brilliant defenses. And right now, Arteta has got them really, really well drilled. I've got Gabriel in my team. Pretty happy with that. Pretty happy that he pulled in a 6-pointer for me in game week 13. But I have to say, I'm looking at doubling up on the Arsenal defense. And if I don't go for Saliba, which I'm not sure I'm going to because he's going to cost me that little bit more. I think he's up into the sort of 5-3, 5-4 bracket. I'm having a look at the goalkeeper, you know. And weirdly, and I know this will sound strange because he didn't get the start at the weekend, but that's, of course, because he's on loan from Brentford, so couldn't play in that game. And Aaron Ramsdale got the start, you know, got the clean sheet. I watched some of the highlights. It was a few iffy moments in there. And I noticed in the Arteta post-match conference, he was talking about the fact that, you know, he was asked outright about a question about Aaron Ramsdale and his performance. And rather than, you know, put some praise onto the goalkeeper, he started talking about, well, we defended well as a unit. The team did well. The defence worked well together. And in my head, I just thought, do you know what? That's kind of telling. The fact that he had an opportunity there to really heap the praise on Aaron Ramsdale and he kind of didn't take it. So I think Raya is pretty locked in that team. And I think he's a really good option at 4.9 million. He's going to cost you a little bit more than maybe an Areola. So if you've got a bit of money in the bank, don't mind him as a goalkeeping option to go to. What do you think about the Arsenal defence? And what do you think about Raya? And is he the goalkeeper you were alluding to a second ago?
Yeah, so I think I've basically said what you've just said about three times over the past day and a half since Arsenal kept that clean sheet against Brentford. I as well have Gabriel. I look at Saliba's price going up, and I actually look at some of the other defenders that I might want, feel like they have more attacking threat than I'm necessarily going to get from Saliba. Now, Saliba did score the other week, but naturally he is a centre-back, so it's maybe not as lucrative as the likes of Pedro Porro, who's maybe one of the others that I'm going to be looking at over the next couple of weeks. And I really am looking at David Raya. Arsenal have an XG conceded every 127 minutes so far this season. That is less than 0.8 a game.
Really good, isn't it?
The defensive data looks so good. I've got one, but I feel like we're going to get to that point. Like we've had in previous seasons with Newcastle, with Manchester City, when it was John Stones and Diaz, where having one doesn't really gain you anything. You're sort of just there with everyone else having one, and you're maybe hoping for an attacking return from your one. But when they are statistically what feels like the best defence in the league at the moment, and their goalkeeper costs just 4.9 million, I find it difficult to turn away from it. Now, I hate making goalkeeper transfers, which is why I don't necessarily think it's going to be something I do straight away. But if I was buying a goalkeeper this week, if I was on wildcard this week, he would be the number one name on my team sheet that I'd be going for sure.
You say you wouldn't be doing it straight away though, Harry, but the next two look great for Arsenal, don't they? Wolves and Luton. And then in 16, it gets, well, I would consider on paper a little bit more difficult. A trip to Villa Park and then Brighton at home looks okay. But then Anfield in game week 18. I don't know. I think if I was, I'm like you. I don't like, can you say wasting a transfer for a goalkeeper? I guess you can. I mean, we say it a lot, don't we, in FPL. We don't want to waste a transfer on a goalkeeper, but that doesn't feel like a waste, does it? At 4.9, to jump on Soraya now ahead of Wolves at home and then Luton away, that feels okay, mate. I wouldn't want to be delaying that.
Yeah, it's true. I feel like I've got enough other things in my team that I need to fix, though, that it might, when you've got other things, the goalkeeper is probably the least thing that you need to go and fix. But I agree. If I could do it this week for Wolves and Luton from Areola, despite the fixtures that we spoke about for West Ham on the horizon, I think I probably would. So the other thing, so I only have one Arsenal at the moment, so I have no attack. And every week I see Bukayo Saka putting up numbers which don't amaze, to be honest. His performances, he's a little bit wide. He hasn't scored in the league since September, but he's getting returns and he's ticking along nicely. And I do look at those upcoming fixtures and think I do really want him in my team. He's probably the only attacker that I do want. Martin Odegaard and Jesus coming back, I feel, is so good for Arsenal. It means Bukayo Saka spoke in an interview over the weekend that he feels like he's being doubled up on a lot so far this season. And it's the same for Gabriel Martinelli as well. And with Odegaard and Jesus being out, teams know with them being out that Martinelli and Saka are going to be the two main outlets that they have. However, with them coming back, it will just spread the defense a little bit more, having to mark Odegaard, having to mark Jesus a little bit more. Yeah. If it's Trossard playing in the eight as well, like he did at the weekend, I feel like it's only going to free up Saka a little bit more. So I'm trying to find a route to get him in. And there are two midfielders that I might have to sell in Jarrod Bowen and, dare I say, Heung-Min Son. So I'm trying to find a way to get him in. It might feel like one of those that if you own, he's not looked that amazing and the data's not that amazing. But if you don't own, watching him play every week, it's a scary experience for sure.
Yeah. He's posting some decent like creativity stats though, right? So he's in my team and I'm very happy to have him ahead of that Wolves and Luton game. Second across the game week for assist potential. So he got 5 chances created. Only Gross could do better than that with 6 for Brighton. So I hear you. The goal threat seems to have fallen off a little bit. And I was going to say fallen off a cliff then. And I will, because actually, if you look at the last sort of 6 game weeks or so, his XG has really plummeted. Mm. But his XA and his creativity stats and his chances created stats for the other players is really looking good. So that's why he's kind of ticking over the points. That's why he's bagging a few bonus points here and there as well. Is it enough, though? Is it enough? And that's the thing I keep asking myself with Bukayo Saka is he's an expensive asset, right? And I've been looking at, certainly in previous weeks, looking at Jarrod Bowen, obviously, out of this game week, and he's out 13, might be out longer term. We've got to wait to see and hear on news on him. But for a few weeks now, I've been looking over at him quite enviously to those that have got him in their team. So I'm kind of wanting to do that transfer, even despite the kind of malaise around Spurs a little bit, back-to-back defeats, I still fancy Son as an asset, particularly against some of the high lines that he's going to come up against, particularly next week against Manchester City. So we'll talk about Son maybe in just a second. But yeah, Saka's kind of ticking over. So in my head, I'm kind of going, well, do I expect more for an asset that's going to cost me that much? Well, I do. But every week I look and I think, okay, well, 6 or 7 or this week 8. And I'm like, can't be down on that. Do you know what I mean? 8 points this week is a decent differential. So ahead of those next two fixtures in 14 and 15, I just cut, you know, there's no way that he's going to go anywhere in my team. Let's move on from Arsenal, though, and go to their opponents. So Brian Mbeumo, no points for him this week. And actually, you know, a couple of game weeks, a couple of difficult fixtures for Brentford in the last 2 weeks. So not plundering too many points for the Bees, Brian Mbeumo. But here we are, the fixtures from game week 14 look very, very good indeed. Starting with that Luton at home, Brighton, Sheffield United, Aston Villa coming up. Now, the word of caution that I would add is that you've got to cater for that blank in game week 18. But with the next four looking, as I just said, with Luton at home in particular in game week 14, I think he's going to be on a lot of FPL radars, don't you, Harry? Brian Mbeumo.
Yeah, no, I agree. I brought him in last week, actually. So I had my eye on this fixture run and I had Mitoma, who was an issue. And I could have gone for a short-term pick, but I knew that I was going to want him in game week 14. So I just brought that transfer forward a week early. And if it wasn't for Declan Rice, I would have had a goal for him to show at the weekend as well. Yeah. So I do like him as a pick. He is focal to what that Brentford team do. They do have nice fixtures on the horizon. It is just that blank in game week 18 that if you are going to buy him, you need to make sure you've got at least some cover for that week. So, I mean, I imagine I'll probably be playing Cameron Archer or someone like that off my bench. But given the fixtures that he has around it, I do really like it. I wish they didn't blank because their fixtures are really nice that I think their defense would be really worth investing in. And I agree. The idea of Flecken or Pinnock or some of their defenders in there. But because I've got Haaland, who Manchester City versus Brentford is the blank in game week 18, I'll add Brian Mbeumo. I've got a few of those, you know, cheap defenders that I don't necessarily want to play in that week anyway, that it just makes it difficult for me to go and add anyone else on top of that without giving myself a massive headache when that blank game week does come around. So as much as I would like to invest elsewhere, it does feel like just him is going to be enough for me.
Yeah, he's just a gift, I think. I think he really is a gift. He's among the top three midfielders for shots in the box, big chances and expected goal involvement, XGI, so far this season. So he's up there keeping company with the likes of Mo Salah. And if you were to extend it out to the forwards as well, he's up there with the likes of Haaland, right? So we talk about Salah versus Haaland a lot so far this season. Even from game week one, it was a case of which one of those are you going to bring in? Well, you know, Brian Mbeumo is keeping up with those guys in terms of the stats that he's posting on a regular basis. And you're right, the blank in 18, you know, it's an inconvenience, I would suggest. We'd like them to play. But even in 19, 20 and 21, and I'm thinking far ahead here, they play Wolves and Palace and Forest after the blank. So, you know, the fixtures for the foreseeable future look unreal.
Yeah, no, I agree. That fixture that was the blank is actually meant to be Man City. So it's not the end of the world that the fixture that he misses out on is Manchester City. And the other, I suppose, positive spin on it that I'd put is how many players over the whole Christmas period do you expect to play every single game? Not very many. It'd be pretty difficult to put your finger on any of the proper FPL assets that are might going to play all of those games. So effectively what you've got is you've got a guarantee of when he's going to get his benching, of when you're not going to want him in your team. So he's likely to pretty much start the majority of the games outside of it because we know that game week 18 is the week that he's going to get his rest. Whereas everyone else in the league will be trying to predict when Saka's going to get a rest. We're going to try and predict if Haaland's going to play all the games. We'll be trying to predict everyone else. So there's a little bit of me that thinks, well, actually, all it does is give me a little bit more security of the matches around it, which are really nice for them.
Yeah, I agree. And talking of short-term fixtures, Liverpool looking pretty good for their next three, right? Fulham, Sheffield United and Crystal Palace coming up. So let's talk about their game against Manchester City at the weekend. Spoils shared in the end. Really nicely taken goal from Trent Alexander-Arnold. A well-taken goal from Haaland as well. In my team currently, Mo Salah and Tsimikas. So I feel pretty well covered for Liverpool over the next three. I don't know whether I'm going to add to that. I am, as usual, and I feel like I say this every time we come onto this podcast, I'm tempted by Darwin Nunez. I mean, how many times am I going to say I'm tempted by Darwin Nunez this season? I noticed his underlying defensive stats, the defensive work that he's doing, the pressing, the running, the harrying down the defenders, keeping those centre-halves occupied, have really gone up versus last season. And we saw last season how Klopp came out a couple of times and said, well, look, he needs to adapt his game. He needs to get used to our system. You know, there's a few things that Klopp gave him some feedback on. Well, he's obviously worked on that over the summer. And now he's starting to post those numbers that I think mean that Klopp is going to use him more often than not in that number nine spot. So we had a bit of narrative earlier on in the season, didn't we? We've got Jota, we've got Gakpo, we've got Luis Diaz, you know, we've got options there. from a Liverpool perspective. Who is it that's going to get that number nine spot? I think he's pretty locked now. I think he's got that number nine, I think, pretty locked down. How do you feel about Liverpool? We'll talk about Manchester City in just a second, but Liverpool, over the next three, including that Fulham at home game in 14, look really good, don't they, for the fixtures? And certainly from an attacking perspective, lots of different options there. Is that a good or a bad thing from an FPL perspective?
Yeah, so I mean, I'm a pretty cautious manager. I feel like I should caveat that. So someone like Darwin Nunez naturally doesn't fall into the bracket of players that I would want to pick. But he has looked really good recently, and I cannot get away from how lively he's looked, how focal he's looked, and he has been getting some returns, right? What I would ask to you, though, as a Liverpool fan, is game week 14, 15, 16 fall in space of a week, right? So game week 15 is that midweek round of fixtures. They have Sheffield United in that one, Fulham this weekend, and I think it's Crystal Palace the weekend after. So do we think that he's going to start Darwin in all three of those games? That's the issue that I have. And maybe he doesn't, but 180 minutes of Darwin in those three games versus, you know, 250 minutes for Watkins, given two of his fixtures are Manchester City and Arsenal, you could still come out on top in that, right? But there is part of me that thinks it's a short-term punt that I might even not get the starts that I want out of him. Now, I will be keeping an eye on your Thursday night lineup because you do have Europe on Thursday just before you play those three quick games. So if there's a player who starts in that Thursday night game, chances are they're not going to play in those three coming up. So I'm keeping an eye particularly on Tsimikas, who's in my team, who I thought did a pretty good job at the weekend as well. He's had a lot of critics over the past few weeks, some of his performances. He's been taken off at halftime. A lot of talk about Joe Gomez coming in, and we thought he might for this game. But Phil Foden didn't have very much luck against him at the weekend. Some of his delivery was pretty good as well. So that was a little positive for me as an owner. I like the look of Darwin, but the Christmas schedule doesn't feel like the right time to buy Darwin for me.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. A home game against LASK, I think, on Thursday. So I'm expecting mass rotation for that European fixture, given that the Premier League schedule looks so difficult over the next week or so. I do agree with you. The other thing that you said, though, you know, Nunez can come off the bench. If he decides not to start him, he can come off the bench and do some damage. We saw that at St James's Park earlier on in the season where he bagged those two goals. So, yeah, even if we don't get the three starts from Nunez, I can see him coming on against, you know, a tired Sheffield United or a tired Crystal Palace in 15-16 or even a tired Fulham in game week 14 and still getting the points. So if you were to add to Mo Salah, and I think, by the way, if you haven't got Mo Salah, there's a reason his FPL ownership has been creeping up and up and up over the last few weeks. I think you've probably got to think about getting him over the next three. I don't think there's any rotation risk there for Mo. I mean, he seems to play him every single week, regardless of the fixture. But yes, we could see a little bit of rotation around Darwin Nunez. But for his price, I don't see that there's too many better in that bracket. And you know what we're going to see? I think rotation with a lot of these players, right? Not just going to be Liverpool and Darwin and Klopp that are going to rotate around this busy Premier League fixture schedule. We're going to see it from a lot of teams. And to that extent, to that point, let's go to Manchester City, because we are used to, over the last few seasons, seeing that rotation from Pep Guardiola. Would I be right in saying we're seeing it a bit less this season? I don't want to say Pep's predictable, because that's definitely not the right thing to say, but we're starting to see a little bit more consistency with his team. I mean, what did you make of the performance at the weekend? And in particular, the standout for me, I agree with you. I thought Phil Foden had a good game, but I thought Tsimikas did play well against him. But the standout for me was how dangerous Doku looked on the other side. I thought Trent had an okay game against him, a pretty good game against him, showed him inside into traffic quite a lot rather than sending him down the outside where Doku likes to play. Mm. No FPL returns for Doku this week in terms of goals and assists, but did pick up the three bonus points. So that to me suggests that he's doing everything. His game seems to be kind of tailor-made for picking up bonus points with the kind of dribbles and the take-ons and the chances created, all of which look pretty good, despite not getting an assist or a goal at the weekend. So thoughts on Manchester City, Harry, ahead of this kind of busy schedule over Christmas, and in particular, Doku, what did you make of him?
Yeah, I had Haaland as captain, and I thought, oh, 1-1, Trent scored. Okay, maybe Trent will get maximum bonus and Haaland will sneak in with two with the other goal. And to see Doku out there at the top, I was like, wow. I didn't actually watch that game until I watched the highlights. And then I was like, oh, I understand why Doku got the three bonus, correct, the amount of take-ons that he had in that game. So not massively surprised there. Again, another couple of drop points from Manchester City. I do think they look pretty good. But as you said, the rotation that we've been fearful of isn't quite the same this season as what we've seen over the past couple of years with Pep. They actually have a much smaller squad this year. He's not picked quite as many players with the likes of Cole Palmer leaving, with the likes of Riyad Mahrez leaving, and only bringing in one replacement in Doku, for example. So there aren't quite as many players. There are a little bit more security in some of their assets. However, as we've mentioned with buying a second Brentford player, I have the same feeling buying a second Manchester City player with their blank in game week 18. Their fixtures before are quite nice. They have Crystal Palace and Luton in the two fixtures before the blank. But if we are combining potentially, you know, Jack Grealish will want a game, you've got Kovacic coming back into the four, you've got John Stones coming back to rotate with some of those defenders as well. A lot of those players that have been out, which have mean that there hasn't been quite so much need for rotation or the ability for Pep to rotate, might just mean over the Christmas period that it comes. I don't hate it, but as we saw again, a Manchester City team putting up good defensive numbers, leaking a goal. So I don't have massive space for them in my attack. I'm looking for defenders, as we spoke about with David Raya, but just the way they leak goals and their prices mean I'm actually quite happy just sticking with Haaland at the moment. I don't necessarily feel like I need another one.
Yeah, I think I'd go along with that. Last word on this game for me. Keep an eye out for updates on Alisson's injury. Notice that he picked up a bit of a hamstring injury potentially at the end of that game. Was certainly feeling it. Now, if he's out for a number of weeks over the Christmas period, Klopp will have no choice but to play Kelleher, Liverpool's second choice goalkeeper, who I think is a real bargain option.
3.9.
Might even be 3.9. Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah. 3.9. So we had the conversation before about Raya and, you know, losing patience with Areola. Maybe, depending on Alisson's fitness, Kelleher is one to have a look at over these next few weeks. But let's not say too much more on that until we know the diagnosis on Liverpool's number one. A couple of other teams to talk about, Harry. You alluded before to selling potentially Matt Cash and Heung-Min Son this week to fund moves that you want to make for game week 14. So you must have been looking at that game at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, 2-1 to Aston Villa. I don't know, looking at it going, who can I sell? Who else can I sell from my FPL team in this game? I don't know. But Matt Cash for me, yeah, I think he might be on the chopping block now. I've noticed in the last few weeks that he is getting forward a lot less, despite actually playing in that out of position more advanced forward slot this game week against Spurs. He did actually play higher up the pitch, but didn't really plunder the points, didn't really impress from that perspective, and also picked up a yellow card. So he's now on 4 and walking the suspension tightrope. He's only one yellow card away from a ban. So all of that goes to say that he is definitely one that I'm looking at moving on, particularly when the Aston Villa fixtures are taking a bit of a turn for the worst from 15 onwards. It's Man City, Arsenal and Brentford. So yeah, we'll come to Son in a minute, but Matt Cash, other Aston Villa assets that you've got, how are you feeling about them?
Yeah, I suppose just while we're on it, it's worth flagging a few of those highly owned players who are on 4 yellow cards as well. So Bruno Fernandes on 4 yellows, so one away from a suspension tightrope. Rodri, which doesn't necessarily impact him per se, but it will impact Manchester City's performance. We imagine the week that he's out. And the other one is Kieran Trippier as well, who's picked up his 4th yellow card, along with Raheem Sterling and Douglas Luiz, a few of the highly owned assets in that game. So with the fixtures coming thick and fast, then yeah, potentially I am looking at Matty Cash as a potential route out. They go away to Bournemouth, who look like they're happy to score goals at the moment. And then they have Manchester City and Arsenal in the two fixtures after that. So I've not been pleased with him. The attacking positioning that we maybe saw is still there, but the returns haven't been and the clean sheets haven't been there as well. Yeah. I also own Diaby, who I thought was pretty nailed, but to see him come off at half time and the likes of Leon Bailey put in the performance that he did when he came on.
Good, wasn't he?
Again, he was really good. And with the three fixtures coming up in the space of a week again, it does concern me a little bit about Diaby's minutes. So Diaby and Cash are both on the chopping block. And then I have Watkins as well, who I'm happy to keep. I have no reason to take him out. Again, just remains so consistent. When they score a couple of goals, you expect him to be involved. And you expect them to score a couple of goals in most weeks, right? I look at those City and Arsenal games, but they're both at home and Villa are such a force at home. So Diaby and Cash are definite priority sales for my team at the moment. And then I look at Watkins and I just think, I don't plan on selling you at any point, especially going into a busy fixture schedule when he'll likely play most weeks, I think.
Yeah, Watkins is a hold for me as well. I don't know if I necessarily would say Diaby's a priority sell. I'm willing to give him the Bournemouth game, I think, before the fixtures get particularly difficult. But I have to say, have got an eye on him. But yeah, Matt Cash definitely out for me. Who would you transfer Matt Cash out for? Is this doubling up on the Arsenal defence, or you mentioned Porro before. Where would you go? What's your early thoughts on that?
The issue with Porro is he has that Manchester City fixture this week, so I don't necessarily want to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just short. I've got 1.5 million in the bank, so I'm not very far off doing cash up to Kieran Trippier. However, those four yellow cards do concern me a little bit.
Yeah.
That if he gets booked, he misses Everton next week and then he walks into Spurs away. So I'd be buying him for Manchester United and Everton where he might be suspended, and then Spurs, which doesn't necessarily fill me with a lot of joy, which then brings me back to, well, I might just keep him for Bournemouth because I don't necessarily feel like there's someone I want to bring him in for. If I decide that David Raya is the answer to my double Arsenal defence over Saliba. Of course, if I decide that I want Saliba, then Matty Cash to Saliba feels like a very straightforward transfer.
Yeah, I think you're right. A quick word on Spurs then, on the other side of this game. You know, back-to-back defeats now for Ange Postecoglou. So after that Chelsea game and the injuries and the suspensions that they got on the back of that, Spurs now starting to struggle a little bit. Could do with the result from somewhere. The last game that they'd want to play, I suspect, is going away to Manchester City in 14. They've then got a couple of home games against West Ham and Newcastle, but neither of those will be easy for Ange Postecoglou and his side. You alluded to selling Son there. I mean, I'm interested in that as a Son non-owner, because again, he was a bit unlucky in this game, wasn't he, against Villa? Three goals, all ruled out for offside or VAR or by the linesman because it was clear. Against that Man City back line, you know, they will be pushing high up. It's sort of tailor-made for Son. I do have a bit of a concern about that creativity in that Spurs midfield. It was interesting to see that Giovanni Lo Celso got the start. I think it was his first start of the season. Got the goal, was doing everything that I think Ange Postecoglou was asking him to do in terms of that creativity. And that midfield three for Spurs felt far more full of creativity than the three they put out against Wolves. Against Wolves, it was, I think, Bissouma, Saar and maybe Højbjerg, I think maybe. So it was all industry, it was all guile, it was all breaking up the play. Mm. And Ange kind of, you know, went against that in this Aston Villa game and went for Hill and for Bentancur, I think, and for Giovanni Lo Celso. So that midfield three, obviously, Postecoglou must be looking at it going, if we're going to get the best out of some of our more key assets like Son, if we're going to get the best out of Sonny, then playing a more creative midfield three with the likes of Giovanni Lo Celso is the right thing to do. So I don't know if I would be quite as hasty on selling Son, because I think Postecoglou looks at it, understands and realises how to get the best out of him, and is going to use him in that kind of talismanic way. But I get it. You know, a couple of blanks back to back, and he's so expensive in FPL. This is the challenge. In a couple of weeks where Saka's going to play Fulham and Sheffield United, having Son in there against Man City and West Ham and then Newcastle, I can see why you might be looking at it.
I don't think he's a bad asset. I think he's worse than he was before, but I don't think he's suddenly become worse. I find it interesting that with him being caught offside three times, that it makes him, that people think it makes him a good asset. If that was Darwin Núñez or Nicholas Jackson that was offside hat trick, people would be making memes out of it every week. But Son doing it makes him, you know, oh, he could have got a hat trick. So it's interesting how it's spun depending on whether it's someone who's in our FPL teams versus someone who's not in our FPL teams, right? So I do think he's a good option, but he is a route to Bukayo Saka for me. And if Jared Bowen is going to be available, which from the press conference last week, there was hope that he would be back even at last weekend, which he didn't feature, but then next weekend as well. So I am hopeful that Bowen's going to be back, and selling Son will free up the money that I need to go and buy Kieran Trippier when I decide is the time to go and do it. So I do have a difficult decision to make this week out of which of Jared Bowen, Bukayo Saka and Heung-min Son I want to not own. I can have two of them, but one of them needs to go. I just feel that Son is the same, but yes, they're playing Lo Celso. Bentancur looked like he picked up another injury at the weekend, so we'll see how long he's going to be out for. He's just not going to have quite the same force of creativity that we've seen behind him. He did get chances at the weekend, but that was against, you know, a team that play a naturally very high line, which naturally will suit Son. He has a very good record against Manchester City, and I do know that, but that is also with Harry Kane picking the passes, not quite the same to who's picking the passes for them going into the weekend as well. So maybe I'm trying to create a narrative that makes it okay for me to sell him, but I don't think he's quite the essential hold that maybe I thought he was 3 or 4 weeks ago before the Maddison injury.
Yeah, you could be right. You could be right. Listen, I could sit here all day and talk to you about all of the other things in terms, like, you know, we haven't even discussed the big XG that Everton racked up against Manchester United, although a good result for the Red Devils. We can talk about the fact that Hwang continues to perform for Wolves. So he's definitely on radar as well. But listen, we're rapidly running out of time. Give me a bit of a feel for your transfers and captaincy for early thoughts for game week 14. We've alluded to a little bit of it there. Cash, Diaby, Son. You want rid of all these guys. So I'm feeling some hits coming on, Harry. What's going on for game week 14?
Luckily, I have two free transfers. So the first couple of transfers will be for free. So I'm pretty sure that I'll do probably Diaby to Palmer this week will be the first transfer. I've just got enough concern that Diaby might be saved for those Manchester City and Arsenal games that they've got on the horizon. So, and the early sub for him again, plus the returns have not been free flowing, and I want Palmer long term. So that transfer makes sense. And then I have to decide if I want Bukayo Saka this week. So Son down or Bowen up is the transfer. And if I don't make that transfer and I decide I don't want Saka for Wolves at home, which I think is very unlikely, then I might bring in David Raya for my second transfer and just fix the goalkeeper issue now and not have to worry about it over Christmas.
Yeah, nice. You know what? I rarely feel as compelled as I feel ahead of game week 14 to do that goalkeeper transfer. As we mentioned before, it's usually down the priority list, but I do feel pretty compelled to bring in David Raya ahead of game week 14, you know, and double up on that Arsenal defence and get a bit of a, you know, steal a march on those that have just got the single Arsenal defence, as you said before, right? Because that's going to start to become a template, I think, that you have at least one Arsenal defender. So David Raya, definitely in my thoughts. I feel like my team is reasonably set up. I've got Mbeumo already in place. I've got Saka already in place. I don't feel like there's any need to go kind of heavy hitting in that midfield. Matt Cash, yeah, for sure. Definitely could be on the chopping block. Like I say, I don't feel as compelled to ditch him as I do bringing in Raya and doing Turner to Raya this week. So lots of thoughts in my head, but it's probably defensively where I'm going to make the changes. Two free transfers for me as well. And then captaincy next week. Early thoughts on captaincy. I've got Saka in place. I've got Haaland, obviously, there. I think if Spurs, you know, decide to wheel out four effectively wingbacks or fullbacks against Manchester City as they did against Aston Villa, that could be, you know, that could be some big numbers for Haaland and co at the Etihad. So obviously Haaland is going to be well captained and he's in my thoughts, but you know, with a few midfielders missing for Wolves because of the suspensions they picked up in Monday Night Football, you know, Bukayo Saka kind of ticking over, it's that goal threat, isn't it? It's that expected goal, it's that XG stat for Saka at the moment. I'm not expecting him to rack up huge shots in the box and XG. So it probably leans me towards Haaland, but it's going to be tricky. There's a few different options, right?
Mine's actually on Mo Salah for the weekend at the moment. Fulham at home.
Oh, didn't even think about Mo Salah. Of course. How can I forget about Mo?
I'm surprised. I thought your captaincy would be a 5-minute spiel about how good Liverpool are at home.
We can do that Fulham if you want. No problem.
No, we'll let them imagine what exactly was going to come and be said there. Yeah. Liverpool at home, City at home. For me, it's very close between Salah and Haaland. I do think that Spurs defence will look weak, and I think Haaland could have a decent amount of luck in there. But right now, it's on Mo Salah. I'm going to play what is on paper an easier fixture at home to Fulham.
So that's the first and last time I forget about Mo Salah captain. So apologies to the Egyptian King. That's my mistake for missing him out, but absolutely a captaincy option ahead of game week 14. You're right. Harry, tell everyone what's coming up over the festive period.
No worries. Yeah, so there will be a pod back on Thursday with Kelly, Jules and Sam where they look ahead a little bit more to game week 14. But of course, there is European fixtures for several Premier League teams going into the week. So although there's going to be lots of transfers to make over the Christmas period with all the game weeks we have, maybe this is one of the weeks just to hold it towards later on in the week. So yeah, as I mentioned, come back on Thursday to hear Kelly, Jules and Sam look ahead to game week 14.
Yeah, hold those transfers. Stop that knee from jerking would be my advice. If you haven't already done so, join the FPL Pod League. The code is IB3WLK.
See you all next time.
Bye, guys.